The Guardian.
Hello, I'm Jason Solomons, and welcome to a special Film Weekly. In this edition, film critic and writer Agnès Poirier looks at Italian contemporary cinema through the lens of the Turin Film Festival. Agnès also explores the festival's long-held love of the retrospective, the subject of which this year is the legend John Huston.
In the 10 years I have been going to the Turin Film Festival, I have never been disappointed. Home to one of the greatest cinema museums in the world, set in the European capital of Baroque architecture and of Italian gastronomy, the Turin Festival has a lot to offer. Italy's most important independent film festival is perhaps one of the most cinephile and unpretentious festivals in Europe. I have seen stars mingling with students, and filmmakers are very happy to have a cappuccino with you. This year, I'm really interested in discovering the new crop of political documentaries coming out of Italy. But Torino is also famous for its impeccably curated retrospectives, with 42 films by American maverick John Huston. I couldn't wish for a more complete John Huston experience. But first, let's hear from one of the grandees of the festival, Emanuele Martin. She will tell us why Torino is so special.
The main difference is that Torino is a cinema city. Italian film industry started really not in Rome, but in Torino at the beginning of the other century. And I think something remained inside the town. And for example, that there are a lot of filmmakers living in Torino, much more than in Milano. In Milano there are a lot of young or not so young director who made commercials. In Torino they do documentaries, shorts and so on. The cinema is something that is inside the town culture, and so one of the best characteristics I think of the Torino Film Festival is that is a thing that I call a metropolitan film festival. In a way, it's smaller, of course, but it's not so far from Rotterdam, Berlin, and Toronto. They are the festival where I go in those festivals, and I see a lot of normal people, not just journalists or producers or directors or buyers, like I see mostly in Cannes and in Venice.
Sentite che silenzio assoluto e pensare che prima che arrivasse il nostro terremoto, un grandissimo successo che è stato, qui all'Aquila la gente si lamentava continuamente.
A scene there from Dracula, a film by Sabina Guzzanti, a leading Italian satirist famous for her imitations of Silvio Berlusconi. Her film deals with Berlusconi's blatant exploitation of the tragic earthquake which destroyed part of the city of Aquila, the capital of the Abruzzo province. Drawing on the style of both Michael Moore and Morgan Spurlock, her film uses pacey edits, stage interventions, and animation to tell a story of state corruption. It seems to me that Dracula represents a new wave of Italian filmmakers returning to the documentary in the hope of reaching a broad domestic and international audience. To find out more, I met up with Davide Oberto, responsible for programming documentaries here at the festival, and discovering the voices at the heart of this new politicized generation of Italian filmmakers.
Buongiorno, sono Davide Oberto, sono uno dei programmatori del
festival. My name is Davide Oberto. I am one of the programmers of the Turin Film Festival, and particularly I am one of the people who choose the films to be screened in the various Italian sections: Italian documentary, short film documentary, and international competition documentary films.
Recently, we saw Dracula, the Sabina Guzzanti documentary about what happened in the Aquila, but also about Berlusconi. And there is a feeling in countries outside of Italy that the political documentaries are the place where the political position is very vivacious, very alive. Is it true?
È molto complessa la situazione del documentario.
Well, the situation in Italy on Italian documentary films is quite complex. It is nonetheless true that Dracula has had a lot of success in the European countries, especially France and Great Britain, and this success, of course, is a merit. But there is a humus of young filmmakers with whom we have been working in close contact, and in the last 10 years we have really focused on their work, especially at the Turin Film Festival, and we tend to stress especially the cinematic language, so not only what they have to tell, the story they have to tell, but the language they use to tell it, because as you probably might know, the roots to Italian documentary filmmaking have a very strong liaison with political reasons, and it is nonetheless very complex in Italy.
What about the financing also of documentaries? It must be pretty difficult, considering that perhaps Italian TV doesn't necessarily finance documentaries that are artistic or cinematographic or political.
La situazione del documentario in Italia è...
Well, the Italian documentary situation is more or less very similar to the Italian film-making situation in general, and it is very difficult to tell what it's like for those who do not live in our country. Nonetheless, I have to say that I'm really very happy with what I've been able to do with my work, especially the liaison with the filmmakers in these last 10 years. We have had a very strong cooperation. We've done a lot because the language, the cinematic language they use is very strong, but often the importance of these films have been absolutely neglected, if we exclude those rare cases like Dracula that has in fact become a success. As you probably might know, they are rarely distributed theatrically, very rarely they're seen on TV. No longer are they bought for broadcast on TV. The televisions mainly buy maybe 10 documentary films per year, and most of the times they are cut in their duration so as to fit the television format. And this, of course, will ruin both the language, the cinematic language, and the duration of the film itself. But there is a but. In the last 10 years, I have to say there has been a nice environment that has been created, a nice framework, and probably thanks to the poor means, the poor tools that these filmmakers, women and men, that they have been obliged to use, they have been nonetheless able to tell these stories, because they have this feelings of this urgence to tell these stories. And so, thanks to this, we have seen films that are very touching in terms of reality and interest.
And so can you tell me this year what you selected, what are your favorite documentaries?
È difficile è difficile dire quali sono i miei documentari preferiti, perché poi sono in un concorso.
So you have asked me about these films, and it is very difficult for me to say which of these films is my favorite, because there are in a competition, and so I cannot say which is my favorite. But Pezzo Mancante by Giovanni Piperno, who is been growing up with us. He has attended the festival in this last 15 years, and this film is a very strange film, a suspended film, and it talks about the missing people of pieces of a very famous family, especially for Turin, but for all of Italy, the family of the Agnelli. And it tells the story of these two missing people who are well known, but not well known at all. Edoardo Agnelli, who died 10 years ago in circumstances that have never ever been explained. And then the story of a brother of Umberto and Gianni Agnelli, who had been hospitalized in a mental institution and who died, personally I did not know anything about, and he is not known to many of the people, even of Turin, and this is a Turinese family.
quello che mi impressionò quando entrai per i primi tempi in casa Agnelli, la mancanza d'arte che c'era in questa casa, nemmeno un quadro. Erano proprio loro che erano dei primitivi, simpatici e stravaganti.
In my view, il pezzo mancante, or the missing piece, provides yet more evidence of this new generation of socially engaged documentary filmmakers. In this case, the style takes a slower and more poetic turn, revealing a dark and complex tale at the heart of Italian society. I was so intrigued by it that I chose to catch up with its director, Giovanni Piperno.
I'm Giovanni Piperno, I'm film director, and I've made this film documentary film about Agnelli's family in Torino.
So for people who don't know the Agnelli family, can you tell us who they are and why they are so important for Italians?
Yes, they are and they were the owners of Fiat. And so they were the real royal family in Italy. Our king and was Gianni Agnelli for more than 50 years. So are like the Kennedy family in a way in USA, but in Italy they were very important because they conditioned the development of the country. All the industrial politics were made even because we have Fiat. So more highways than trains, for example. More bus than underground in the town. And so it goes on.
And was it difficult to make a film about the Agnelli? Because you talk actually about things we hardly knew. For instance, that there were an older brother who was just interned in an asylum and never talked about. And also, we also know there are some tragic events in the Agnelli family, like the son of Gianni, who committed suicide at 46 and therefore left the whole empire without an heir. So, well, is it actually difficult? Because although your treatment is very artistic, it's also in many ways a political subject.
It was very, very, very hard because they are very secretive and close, and I think that in a way this was their main problem, that to survive as owners of this big empire for over a century, they sacrificed the relationship, the affective life inside the family, and the film is about this. So it wasn't easy because it's hard for them to accept themselves that they had enormous suffering in their family history.
And so how was it received in Turin? Because the Agnelli family comes from that part of Italy. So was it important for you to see the reaction of the people from Turin?
Yes, it's very interesting to show the film here because the Fiat was born in Torino, and for until the 60s the main factories are here. We can say it's like Torino was the Detroit as Detroit in USA. So it was for almost a century a town factory. So we can say that the majority of the people who live here has some relatives who worked or who works until now in Fiat.
And how do you view the situation of the political documentaries in Italy? Because, you know, in France or in Britain, we actually see some political documentaries being released, like the Dracula by Sabina Guzzanti and a few others. But I know in Italy it's very difficult for documentaries to be seen by an audience because televisions don't buy them and there is very little money for it. So how do you manage to find an audience? And what do you think of, is there a renaissance, of documentaries in Italy?
We are living in a paradoxical situation in Italy because we don't have market for documentaries, but the natural and history documentaries. the problem is not just for the politics documentary, but also for the, in general, for documentary that are not about animals and history. It's crazy because at the same time there is a big, big interest from, especially from the young audience, and obviously with the new technical equipment very cheap, it's possible for a lot of people. So there we have a lot of university course, interest, festival. We are full of documentary festival in Italy, but there is not a real distribution of this film. It's very hard. We just see maybe something will change through the web, maybe in the future. But until now, we have this big effort from a lot of people, but it's very hard to see documentaries. And something is possible to see in the cinema, but only when the director is already famous. It's not, it's very hard.
Well, you know, in Italy it's very difficult to do. Stop just a second.
The polyglot yet reluctant English speaker Fabio Fazzetti further enlightened me on how these documentaries find a public against all the odds.
Grâce au circuit du festival, des festivals, et après ça sort souvent à librairie, ça sort.
Yes, it's very difficult for documentary filmmakers to have their films broadcast on Italian TV channels. It doesn't, however, discourage them, and with very little financial means and a guerrilla-style production, they manage to make films which then go on to be screened in festivals, get talked about online, and then they often get distributed by bookshops along with books on the same topic. This is a new form of distribution for documentaries here in Italy. Italian society and its travails is therefore scrutinized more than it ever was, thanks to fearless filmmakers who do a real investigative job on the ground. At the same time, there are also filmmakers who develop a more poetic and cinematic approach to documentaries, such as the one which won last year's big prize in Turin, La Bocca del Lupo, by Pietro Macello. It told the stories of outcasts in Genoa, and of a love story between a working-class former convict and an upper-middle-class transsexual. It was a very poetic film, using archive footage and dealing with very important contemporary social issues.
Vieux documents, des vieilles images d'archives de Genoa, c'était vraiment.
Quando l'ho conosciuto, non avrei mai immaginato che nascesse l'amore fra noi. Ciao dolcissima, carnalissima, amore mio, come stai? Ti adoro, dolcissima bastarda.
In the 10 years I have been going to Turin, the thing I have never missed is the festival's retrospectives. Especially in Turin, young audiences flock to see classic films they have only read about. Hard to believe, but this year I met young people who discovered Humphrey Bogart for the first time in The African Queen, and they were hooked.
Is something the matter, Mr. Allnut? Tell me.
Nothing. Nothing you'd understand.
I simply can't imagine what could be the matter. It's been such a pleasant day. What is it? Yes, Mr. Allnut?
All this foolish talk about the Louisa going down the river.
What do you mean?
I mean, we ain't going to do nothing of the sort.
Of course we are. What an absurd idea.
What an absurd idea.
I spoke to Emanuele Martin and asked her why retrospectives were so important for Torino.
Torino started, was at the beginning, the Torino Film Festival was called Torino Cinema Giovani, that's Torino Young Cinema. And the retrospectives became soon one of the main points of the festival. And they did all the Nouvelle Vagues. Nouvelle Vague, Free Cinema, Neorealism, the Czech, the Hungarian, everything, every Nouvelle Vague. At one moment, the Nouvelle Vague. Nouvelle Vagues ended, of course. And so a research started about the directors who, anyway, are inventing or reinventing cinema.
So tell me, is there a reason to do a John Huston retrospective?
You know, it has never been done, complete John Huston retrospective in the world. The most of Italian journalists ask, why John Huston? Because there is a kind of misunderstanding. everyone thinks that John Huston is a classic director. So thinks of the 40s and 50s stuff. But he has done a lot of stuff in the 70s and 80s, reinventing the language, reinventing the genre. I mean, he had that period, in that 20 years, he had the same spirit as young Bob Rafelson, Robert Altman, Sam Peckinpah, and so on, and Bogdanovich, and so on. If you look at Fats Siddi now, or Westblood, or also Prizzi's Honor, they look, as they were made by a 25, 30 years old director. In the meantime, he invented modern cinema, beginning of the 40s, 1941, with the Maltese Falcon. It was the greatest first movie, together with Citizen Kane by Orson Welles. He invented the noir genre, and after that he reinvented noir genre in 1950 with Houseful Jungle, and adventure, war movies, and so on. So that's the reason why we did it.
As festival goers were celebrating one great filmmaker, the news came through one night that another great director, closer to home, 95-year-old Mario Monicelli, the king of Italian comedies, had chosen to end his life. In dramatic but oddly positive ways, the news changed the mood of the festival, and we found ourselves celebrating his work and his strong personality. Giovanni Piperno spoke to me about Monicelli's importance.
One of the special thing of Monicelli is that he was very, we say modesto in Italian.
Modest.
And he was one of the greatest director in Italy, but he always speak about himself and his work as something very normal, not special. But he made several special movies. And he was really, lucido, lucid until the last day of his life. And I think that is the reason why he chose to suicide himself, because he couldn't survive if he wasn't in full capacity. He knew that he had cancer, and he decided to me is another one more reason to admire him.
Buoni, ma che vuol la padella coi busi?
Ma vuoi prendere una padella?
Esce verso io la padella.
Dammelo un altro.
Ecco qua. Le faccio vedere io come si fa.
Ora se
faccio
fa
io i buchi. Lei vedo. A cecchini zozzi sbuccioni, ce piate mai, cogliete questa se siete buoni.
La Grande Guerra, I don't know the English translation, The Great War, maybe. That was a really pacifist film, and to made it, it was very hard for him, because in Italy he hasn't the collaboration of army, because they were very afraid about this film at that age. And naturally also I Soliti Ignoti.
Which is strangely translated in English as Something Happened in Madonna Street. In French it's Le Pigeon, and in Italian it's something else. Can you tell me a bit about that film?
Is a perfect portrait of the Italian culture, in a way. The story is that there are a group of people of poor and out of society people that try to do a big rapina heist, but they are not enough organized, and they are not really criminal to do it. And so they fail it, but they broke a wall to go inside the jewelry, if I remember well. But it was a kitchen, not a jewelry. So the film ended that they eat pasta fagioli, pasta and beans, and so it's very it's a tender movie at the end.
This year's festival had it all. New voices, great retrospectives, the great Mario Monicelli's inspiring laughter, and the belief among those in Torino that Italian cinema has found a new vigour. As for me, I go back happy, leaving Torino with an almost illegal amount of local chocolate in my suitcase, and already making plans to return next year.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.